Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's hour two of the program. My name is Lawrence Holmes. We are going until 10 o'clock tonight. The second half of the show is pretty much loaded up with guests. This hour, though, we have the opportunity to talk a little bit if you want to jump in. 312-644-6767 is the number. The story on the table, or a couple of them, Tiger Woods, and there's something specific that I want to talk to you about that. And the story that DePaulia, which is the student-run newspaper, ran about athletic director Jean Lindsay Ponsetto and her connection to one of the bankers in charge at Wintrust Arena and whether or not there's a conflict of interest there because this person is her sister-in-law. And I know that there are I've been arguing with people. Let me just say this about DePaul as a member of the Big East. One of the things that really annoys me about people who, I don't even want to say DePaul fans, but people whenever DePaul is up, they say, oh, DePaul should move down to the Horizon League. Why? Why would they do that? Well, then they'd have a chance to win. They're in a conference with this same school. Marquette is DePaul in Milwaukee. St. John's is DePaul in Queens. They're all, Providence is DePaul in Providence. They're all the same school. It made sense when they split away from the Big East teams that play football and created this basketball conference. Why in the world would they turn down that money? I mean, really, like, really listen to what you're saying. Why would they turn down the opportunity, even if they're getting their brains beat in, to be on television for every game? I don't think you, back in the day, DePaul's television schedule was catch as catch can. When we were in the Great Midwest Conference, you weren't able to see every game. Now, technology has moved forward, but how many times was UIC on television this year? Not a lot. How many times was Loyola on TV this year? And that's a Valley school. When Loyola got a game on ESPN this year, it was a big deal. They sent out a press release. DePaul plays every game on Fox Sports. Every one of them. To me, that's a terrible argument. There are other ones that I think are valid. That one is awful. They are in a conference with schools that are just like them.
And speaking of Illinois, they don't play every game on TV. Like those.
Oh, that's right.
Those preseason games, they're on Big Ten Plus. Yeah, some garbage, which I hate.
Right. Every DePaul game is on television. Every one. So, no, them leaving the Big East as a comp. Like, if you want to say they need to be more competitive in the Big East, you're 100% right. But asking them to take a conference demotion because you're unhappy, you'd rather see them win a bad conference. Wait, I'm sorry, a lesser conference. It really makes no sense. There are plenty of things to be upset about with DePaul basketball, and if you're upset with Jean Lindsay Ponsetto overall, I understand. But them moving to the Big East is one of the best things that they could have done. And considering that DePaul is, what, the largest Catholic university in America, the onus is on them to compete at this level, not to drop down to another one. Hold them to that standard. Not the, oh, well, let's just go down and let's play in the what's the conference that Eastern's in? Is that the Ohio Valley? Let's go play in the Ohio Valley. Then we can get some wins. I don't want them to be in a one bid league. I want them to compete in a league that gets six or seven teams in. Here's what I want. Here's honestly, and I've been saying this for the last 2 years. You know what I want DePaul to be? I want them to be Providence. That's what I want. I want exciting team that makes a tournament every year, because that's what Ed Cooley has been doing at Providence. They make the tournament every year. Was it 5 years in a row? And maybe they can make a little bit of noise. That should be the standard. That's what you're looking for. But this, let's just throttle it down and let's go join the Valley. Okay, what does that do for you? Except take all of your games off television. And then you know what you're going to be texting me then? Why can't I see DePaul games? Because they're in the Valley. That's why. Sure, you occasionally get the Northern Iowa game on NBC Sports Chicago at like a weird time. You're like, Northern Iowa versus Evansville? I don't know if I need to watch that. But that argument to me doesn't hold a lot of water. Other arguments do. 312-644-6767. Hey, Aaron, you're on the score.
Lawrence, first of all, thank you for being our lone remaining DePaul, guy around. And you hit it spot on. We need to be in the Big East. We deserve to be in the Big East. But things need to change, man. And I don't care about this Wintrust thing. That's a reason to get rid of JLP that really doesn't need to happen. The record needs to speak for itself. And she's treated this whole thing like a high school athletic department. You know, all of her relatives work there. All of her friends work there. This needs to be a big-time job. DePaul can be good, and we don't have to be good by cheating, handing out money and all that. We can be good. You beat Providence. You beat middle of the pack in the Big East. And it can happen. And it's just – it's so frustrating because the marketing is so bad. You can't even buy DePaul gear. You can't. The new stadium was marketed terribly. It's in an okay location. It's not the A-plus location. It's the B location. That's fine. It's South Loop. It's better than Allstate. You'll get the corporate crowd if you want it. But it's just very, very frustrating to sit through this and just watch them watch all these opportunities pass them by. Why can't we be Marquette? Why can't we be Seton Hall? It's embarrassing. The numbers speak for themselves. Before we had JLP, 23 tournaments, since zero.
Well, I mean, Aaron, that's not entirely fair, because a big portion of before JLP is Ray Meyer.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair, and I mean, you have to do that. She's hired three terrible coaches. I mean,
that's an argument that I'll hear. Like, if you're unhappy with the hires that she's made after being in charge, that's fine. But saying, before Ray Meyer won, 725 games or whatever? It's not entirely fair, but I do appreciate you checking in.
And I'm not sure that Dave Lato is a terrible hire. He's only got 3 years on this side of his tenure, and he inherited a mess. And so, yeah, I think that Dave Lato has failed up to this point. I want a full recruiting class in before I could say, you're out of here, Dave Lato.
Here's my issue with this season in particular, and you and I have talked about this. If after last season, knowing that Eli Kane was going to be back with the team and that he was a guy that could be 15, 18 points a game, that you had a good building block with him there. Brandon Cyrus is a guy that started for you, at least, that you knew. And now you're telling me to that you're going to add a 20-point-a-game score in Max Strus and a big man who can score and defend in Marin Maric, and you still are going to end up with 20 losses? Like, that's hard. That's hard for me to wrap my head around. And you know what I've said all season? It sounds stupid, but if you watched every game, they're clearly better. But they're not winning. What's Xavier seed? What are they, a 2 seed?
What's Xavier's?
One. Xavier's a 1 seed, right?
Yeah.
DePaul lost by 2 games by a combined 8 points to Xavier this year.
And we're beating the bricks off of them people up in Cincinnati.
Man. It was That was frustrating too. The Xavier game, the Providence game, the first Providence game, very frustrating. Those games where they were in a basket or two, and they're 1-8. That can't be. You have to be 5-4 or 4-5 in those really, really close games.
The Northwestern game.
There were a lot of season-turning moments for DePaul this year. And it just, for whatever reason, and you can assign your own reason to it, it didn't happen. And that's the thing that's crushing. But I was there when DePaul beat Marquette. And Wintrust felt great. Even with a mostly Marquette crowd, it felt great. And it felt a hell of a lot better than being out in Rosemont. For me, it's a lot easier. It's a much better place for me to be. But I completely understand the frustration that DePaul fans have. I get it. 10 years of 19 losses or more. How much are you supposed to endure? The Creighton game. You're right, Texter. I was sitting front row for that. Is right there. Even the game against Marquette in the tournament. And shout out to Dave because he drew up an incredible out of bounds play.
I don't think you could have had a better scenario for if you told a person, hey, we're going to give you the ball.
Down one.
Get your best player with the ball for the win through 5 seconds left. You good for that? Everybody's like, let's do it.
Let's go. Bet money on Max Strus every time. That kid's fun. But, hey, he transferred from Lewis. He sat out a year. If he wanted to graduate and transfer, I'd understand. I completely understand. Again, Texas is right on it. Overtime against Oregon. Yes. So many games this year where you like, man, had they just won that one?
Battled Michigan State for a half.
Yeah, and then not for the second half. No shame in that, but yeah. 312-644-6767. We're also talking a little bit of Tiger Woods, too. Hey, Jim, you're on the score.
How you doing, Lawrence?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. I was sitting at a train track, stuck waiting for a train, listening to Barry talk about Tiger coming back and the effect that it had on the audience. I agree with 95% of his game, but twice he referred to as the greatest of all time coming back, Muhammad Ali, a.k.a. Michael Jordan. I'm wondering if Barry is familiar with the accomplishments of one Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah, he's like the biggest golf fan here. He's very aware of who Jack Nicklaus is.
Okay. You know, it's interesting. About 6 months ago on the Golf Channel, there was a three-part special called Jack, and it was 3 one-hour segments about the career of Jack Nicklaus. And what was interesting was the way they started the first segment. They took a sheet of paper with a long list of accomplishments on it, and they handed them one by one to today's stars, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, and it just showed them reading down this list. Then they were told, before they were told these are Jack Nicklaus's accomplishments, as they're reading this, their eyes got as big as saucers. You couldn't believe it. And we're talking about accomplishments, not just the 18 majors, the 70 or so wins.
Yeah, and all the times he finished second, too.
Yeah, something like 20 majors, second-place finishes. He could have theoretically won 30 majors.
Yeah, we all agree that Jack Nicklaus is really good.
If one of y'all says some silly-ass name.
we all agree that the guy's a legend. Barry clearly thinks that he's better. And he's not alone in thinking that. And there's still, like, Tiger's career is also not over. There's possibility that he could chase down Jack in majors. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's still possible, especially if he plays like he played before. This segment being brought to you by CeCe's, new crust, new sauce, New York style pizza. Now at CeCe's, grab an extra large slice of their new meatball pepperoni pizza and new cheesecake brownies for dessert. There's so much to love on the buffet, just five and change. Only at CeCe's, prices vary. Restrictions may apply. This weekend, or the Friday, I recorded the Sports Reporters podcast. I've been asked to do the Sports Reporters with Mike Lupica and Mitch Albom and Bob Ryan. And we were talking about LeBron James, and Bob Ryan pulled the same thing that the caller did, where he was like, yes, but let me tell you about Bill Russell. And then I said, but Bill Russell was dunking on people like me and Lupica. So it doesn't. And then Bob got really mad. He was so mad. But it's true. Playing with small people. You know, they had that debate on who had better handles, Bob Cousy or Kyrie Irving. Real talk. Like, I know that we see the black and white and the high shorts. Bob Cousy was a magician. Real talk. When you had to actually pat down the ball that you couldn't palm it. But come on, son. Remember him in Blue Chips as the athletic director? Just making buckets underhand. We owe it to him. You know, Neon Badeau never asked for that. He never asked for it. He just wanted to get out of the swamp and play a little basketball. That's all he wanted. You know, Tony still flunked TV. I mean, this is the early 90s. How are you flunking TV? I mean, I get it now, but it's bad. I'm not even going to say the booster's name because it's – that booster's name is – an absolute slur that just, I mean, come on.
Kind of like IRS?
Yes, that is correct. The wrestler IRS. Remember he used to come in? He had the suspenders? I don't remember if he had like a catchphrase or anything, but.
Wasn't that the Brooklyn Brawler?
Shh, don't tell people. You leave Steve, is it Lombardo or Lombardi? You leave him out of this. Naperville and Leo. Hey, Leo, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. You know, getting back to Jeannie's record, I mean, there isn't, to put it into a Chicago context, if we were talking about a general manager, and you told me that that general manager was in their position the last 10, 11 years, consistent last place finishes, made three coaching hires, declining attendance, no playoffs, poor recruiting, they wouldn't have a job. And quite frankly, that person wouldn't have a job in any Power 5 or Power 6 conference school, and probably not even a mid-major school. So I guess as fans of DePaul and alumni and lifelong fans, where's the accountability in the flagship program? And I get it. You know, they like to tout about other non-revenue sports. But the reason why DePaul attained its national profile was because of men's basketball. The reason why you and I went there, because we do the team through men's basketball. It's a huge asset, and it's being mismanaged. Where's the oversight?
I appreciate the phone call, Leo. As a kid, that was the first team. That was my first team. Going over to my grandmother's house over on the south side and watching DePaul on Channel 9. When I was a little kid, like sitting on the floor. I also think that we would do ourselves a service, DePaul fans, by letting that go. It's over.
And to correct myself, IRS was Mike Rotunda.
Okay, it was Mike Rotunda. It wasn't Steve Lombardi / Lombardo.
No. I can't even say the name. I just kind of cringe / laugh at, like, they had the audacity,
I mean,
to call this man this name.
Do you want me to say it? I have less to lose.
No.
No.
I don't want you to lose something. But, I mean, if you look at the – it's still this way to a certain degree. But, I mean, wasn't Kamala, like, from Georgia? But the Uganda – you know what I mean? Like, it's
– Coco Beware.
Just up there just dancing.
Virgil.
Here's all you need to know. This was also the era when Mike Tyson's Punch-Out came out, and that game is so racist. Like, it's, you're shaking your head, Shane.
I'm not shaking my head. I'm not familiar with the game.
You've never seen Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
No.
Go take a look at the list of boxers on Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Also, when you were doing the blue chips thing, he didn't know any of that. Or I was like, you know, blue chips is like basketball, the program.
Yes.
He's like, the program? What's that?
Seat at the table. Seat at the table.
I forget how young Shane's 25. He hadn't seen any of that goodness.
Shane skews a little older than Tony.
I was going to say, at least I believe that 9/11 happened.
Okay, we don't need to go through that. We don't need to. We don't need to go through the things that Tony believes in.
Conspiracy brother Tony.
He really is that, but that's fine. It's fine. It's, you know, we are diverse in thought on this show, along with, you know, being as diverse as possible. Just saying. I didn't get a chance to ask my Tiger Woods question. But yes, Shane, look up all the boxers. It's Soda Popinski is from the USSR. He was supposed to be Soda Vodka Drunkinski. I mean,
that's a problem.
Yeah.
Piston Honda.
By the way, I think second Piston Honda is the best fighter in the game. Better than Tyson. Just my opinion. I'll get to my thoughts on Tiger Woods, and more people want to jump in on DePaul. That's fine, too. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 on The Score. Tiger Woods finished second yesterday. I spent a lot of time watching it. I'm not a huge golf fan. I know a little bit. I do enjoy good golf. There are players I like watching, like when Dustin Johnson is on. I love to see Dustin Johnson like hit the ball. You fantasize like, man, I could hit the ball like that, and you can't. But I wanted to talk to you about watching Tiger Woods yesterday. And what is it that compels us, or more specifically, what is it that compels you to watch an individual? And I'd love to know, obviously Jordan, but we're all kind of grandfathered into watching Jordan because we were watching Jordan in conjunction with watching him with the Bulls, not the Bears. Bears have been interesting. Wide out. But when it comes to watching Tiger Woods yesterday, knowing that he was going to be a part of this thing, I just sat there and went, yeah, I want to see if he can still do it. The first thing was, like, when you were hearing on Thursday, like, oh, Tiger looks pretty good. It's like, oh, okay, it's one round. And then Friday you're watching going, oh, this might be a little bit more interesting than I thought it would be. And then by Saturday you're in it. He's leading at one point, and you're saying, wow, this is crazy that Tiger Woods is a part of this. Is there any one individual in sports now, outside of Tiger Woods, that you feel compelled to watch? Shane, you're shaking your head. Is there Mike Trout. Mike Trout's it for you?
Got to watch Mike Trout. Got to watch LeBron, without a doubt.
I think LeBron is very high on that list for me. Herbie, is there anyone else on that list for you?
I would agree with Mike Trout because I believe he's an all-timer. You could tell your grandkids, I saw Mike Trout play. I don't think there's anybody else playing in baseball you can say that about.
You're probably right, although we get spoiled here watching Chris Bryant every day.
He's good.
He's really good.
I think Mike Trout is otherworldly.
Mike Trout is the best player on the planet. You know who else is good, though, and is compelling watch? Jose Altuve.
Especially at the White House today.
Was he at the White House today?
He was.
Oh, they got their thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Made their visit. Had some speaks.
Yeah. Carlos Correa didn't show up, and I think everybody else pretty much showed up. Correa and Beltran didn't show up.
Okay.
But then some nice side eye today.
Oh, good. I like side eye. 312-644-6767.
Was side eye one of the boxers in the Mike Tyson punch out game?
No, but I mean, he could have been. Did you look at the list yet?
I did.
It's bad.
Yeah, some of them are bad. Others are, I think, a stretch in terms of, like, in today's world that we're so damn sensitive about everything.
I mean,
but a lot of them are bad.
I mean, you got a boxer with a turban on in the ring. He's got special power. Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I get it.
You know? Sandman, big old black dude from Philadelphia. Super Macho Man.
I don't want to have the people coming after me, so I'll withhold.
Super Macho Man, he's from Hollywood, therefore he has to have a Speedo on when he fights, and he just flexes his muscles. Because he's so Hollywood. You gotta dodge that twist punch. Someone texted to Eloy Jimenez. Nope. Not yet.
He's on pace to have 45,000 career home runs.
I agree. That would be in record, though, of some sort. 815 Texas says, Tiger lost. Wow, impressive. What a myopic view you have.
Did you see the tweet from the PGA Tour account yesterday about the stat or the number that Tiger and Phil Mickelson would have shared had Tiger won yesterday?
No, what's the number?
They both would have gone exactly 1,687 days between winning tournaments. If Tiger would have won yesterday, he and Phil, their drought, their respective droughts, both would have lasted 1,687 days.
Dude, CBS is salivating over the fact that Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson are playing well going into the Masters. Texas is Connor McDavid. I agree with you 100%. I'm really mad at myself. Earlier this year, when they were in town, I was sitting there going, I should go watch Connor McDavid. And I was like, whatever. And then he had like a crazy game against the Blackhawks. The dude's just a beast. So next time, I'm not passing that up. Next time I get an opportunity to go see a Connor McDavid, I'm going.
Connor McGregor?
No.
No?
Okay.
No, he got beat up by a boxer who can't beat up people. But anyways.
Yeah, he got knocked out by a guy with no knockout power.
Here's a Shane's leaving the studio. That's his guy. There's a tweet earlier to speak to your Tiger Woods point by Ryan Lavner. Ratings in the final round of the 2017 Masters was a 7.6. U.S. Open 3.6. The
Valspar.
The British Open 3-2, the PGA 3-6, the 2018 Valspar 5-1.
Uh-huh.
And then he ends it, but please tell me more about how no one cares about Tiger.
Yeah. It was like what Barry was saying. The crowds were literally walking away from other golfers. It was like Tiger was the Pied Piper. It's like, oh, Tiger's going to the next hole. Let's go. I don't know if that's great for other golfers or terrible. Like, there's part of me that feels like it's kind of cool. It's like, oh, I got the golf course back to myself again. I can enjoy myself. St. Charles and Joe. Hey, Joe, you're on the score.
Hey, I just got to tell you about my mom, my dear mother, who's been gone for like almost 4 years. She was 91 years old when she passed. When she was in her late 80s, she couldn't have cared less her whole life about sports, but the last like 5 years of her life she cared about watching Tiger Woods play golf. Don't ask me why, but there was just something about that guy apparently, and it just riveted her. So I don't know what that means, but I think it means something. What do you think?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not. You know your mom better than I knew your mom, because I don't know your mom. What other athletes was she drawn to as a viewer?
None.
Really?
I mean, you know, like I played golf. My sister took it up. Maybe that had a little something to do with it or something, to where she got maybe a little bit more interested in that. But if he was playing, she was watching.
That's interesting. I do think that there are players that are transcendent, that not just sports fans get involved with, like LeBron. I think LeBron is on that level, where you might not be a basketball fan, but you know who LeBron is and know that you should probably be in awe of what you're seeing when he plays. We can take more phone calls on this. I see some people texting in. Devin Hester, I agree, was a must-watch in the first 5 years of his career every time the ball was punted or kicked. I agree. 312-644-6767 is the number. Lawrence Humphrey here with you until 10. We'll talk football with Michael David Smith, the Pro Football Talk, coming up at 8 here on The Score.
Swinging a fly ball deep center. Burks going back. This could go at the warning track. The wall. Dead center. Gonzo Jimenez. Swing and a high fly. Way out to left field. Forget about it. Gonzo Jimenez.
This is Eloy Jimenez. When I hit a home run, because I'm the beast.
I'm 260 for my shirt. 260 for my shirt.
Are you making the point that Eloy Jimenez is a must-watch, Shane? Okay. For now. It's fine. Got into the game on Saturday, hit a home run. He is a very angry still about the trade.
Came back the next day, hit another home run.
Hey, man, if he's here in September, I'm happy. I'm not putting any pressure on him. If he finds his way here in September, that's good. Him and Kopech, that would be fine. This segment is being brought to you by CC's. New crust, new sauce, New York-style pizza now at CC's. Grab an extra-large slice of their new meatball pepperoni pizza and new cheesecake brownies. Check that out for dessert. There's so much to love on the buffet for just five and change. Only at CC's. Prices may vary. Restrictions apply. We've been talking a little bit about Tiger Woods and talking about those players that we have to watch, that we're compelled to watch, even if we're not necessarily a fan of the sport. There are plenty of people who don't like golf that tuned in yesterday. And there's some people that have been away from golf that were like, oh, Tiger's playing? Tiger's playing well? I'm going to watch that. Let's go out to Crystal Lake and Kyle. Hey, Kyle, you're on The Score.
Hey, Lawrence, thanks for taking my call.
No problem, man.
Well, I'm a golf professional. And I'm obviously, I don't agree with his social agenda. But he has been so significant in our sport, and the amount of kids that he's brought to the game and new people that he's brought to the game has really, really added to the development of our sport and getting people that directly affect my income. and that's exactly what you're talking about, the ratings for this weekend. And I mean, it's the Valspar, it's not the Masters, and how much those shot up just because he's playing the event. That's why I think that he's one of the most important athletes that's out there. Just it's how many people that he influences and brings to the game. So that's just what I wanted to say.
Kyle, let me ask you a question since you're a golf guy.
Uh-huh.
I haven't played in a while. I got mad and I threw my clubs in a lake. I want to get new clubs. What should I do? But I don't want to spend a lot of money. Like, I just want to get enough that if someone asks me to play or someone asks me to go to the driving range, I can go.
Honestly, I'm a title of staff guy. Buying Callaway, buying TaylorMade, buying Titleist, buying those brands is not going to make you a better golfer. Instruction is the number one thing. However, if you want to buy a decent set of clubs, there's a great company that's in St. Charles called Tour Edge. They have they're inexpensive irons, but they are very, very high quality.
All right, so how much are we talking here?
Probably about $500.
Oh, that's like way less than I was expecting it to be.
Yeah,
all right.
That's that's a very, very high quality set of irons, at a discounted price without paying for the brand of Callaway, TaylorMade or Titleist.
All right. Well, thanks, Kyle. I appreciate it.
Actually, my pleasure.
I got the shout out to Jumpman23 and Nike Golf. They sent me the Jordan 3 golf shoes, which I'm never, ever going to wear playing golf. But I was like, you know, maybe it's time to see. Me and Hood used to go out to the driving range on 63rd Street. And we go and have a good time. You know, Jonathan's doing his whole Jonathan thing. And I'm really... Herbie, how would you describe my level of competitiveness in athletics?
Like, severe. You're not the guy who's, you know, a bad sportsman, where they say, like, the Bob Gibson guys. Those guys, I think, are bad sportsmen. You're a level below that, where you won't go as far as to cheat and or be a poor sport after you lose.
But it's very important.
Yes.
And so, like, when I go to the driving range, and I'm sure there are some people who can sympathize with this. If I'm, let's say that I have 40 balls in a bucket. Let's say that I hit 25 of those balls well. And 10 in a row well. And then that last ball in the bucket, I shank it or I yank it. New bucket. And Hood used to get tired of this. Hood would be like, seriously? Like, I'm ready to go. And I'd be like, no, new bucket. Let's go. I'm afraid of my obsession when it comes, my obsessive personality when it comes to sports. I'm afraid of it when I play golf. It scares the living daylights out of me. Naperville and Paul. Hey, Paul, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, thanks for taking my call, man. First of all, I just want to say how much I enjoy what you do.
Oh, thanks.
I don't get to listen to your show all the time, but, you know, if I'm in the car, it's always a treat to turn you on. I love the fact that you're a fan, and at the same time, you're so professional, but you don't let your professionalism dampen your enthusiasm, if that makes sense. So
that's a very nice compliment. Thank you very much.
I just want to say, you know, you're a true sports journalist on the radio, and that's great to hear.
I try.
And I also appreciate the fact that you will talk about soccer, which segues into my compelling athlete, who I always have to watch because he's otherworldly, is Lionel Messi. He's from another planet.
It's so funny that you bring that up, because Julie and Z-Pack are kind of our soccer experts here at the station. And Julie, like, busted in the door and was like, Messi, and walked out. And I was like, does she mean the desk? I mean, I have some reads here, but I wouldn't necessarily. And I was like, oh, Leo. Yeah, Leo Messi. And then I said Ronaldo, and then she got really mad.
Dax McCarty.
Dax, a good man. We had a good interview with Dax. By the way, if you want to check it out, what's our new website? Is it still 670thescore.com?
Well, 670thescore.radio.com.
You can check out the interview with Dax McCarty if you're a big footy fan, and especially of the Fire. Richie, I got like 30 seconds. What's on your mind?
Lawrence, hey, real quick. My children are huge golf fans, and they've only got to watch YouTube videos of Tiger. Yesterday, we're on the 16th green watching him make his last, or try to make his last putt. I told my children, I want to know what you think about this. I think Tiger is the most dominant athlete of any sport of all time, just because of what he put into people, how people feared him, the amount of wins he has. I want to know what you think about that, Lawrence. I'll hang up and listen.
I would come back with Mike Tyson in his prime. I mean, Mike Tyson would walk to the ring and the fight was over. You saw grown men, championship-level boxers, quaking. But yes, I agree that there was a huge fear factor, not shout-out to Ludacris, with Tiger Woods on a golf course. Absolutely.
I would say Serena Williams.
Serena, man. Woo! Serena's scaring. Like, they scared that she going to come back. Like, they're like, yeah, go have that baby. Please.
She came back.
Take all the time you need.
She played two matches.
She's playing Venus tonight or tomorrow?
10 o'clock tonight.
I love Venus's game. Like, Serena, obviously, is one of the greatest champions of all time. And I feel like, had there been no Serena, we would be talking about Venus that way. But it's a different style of tennis, too. Venus plays this beautiful, powerful. Like, I say her game is more beautiful than powerful. And Serena is just like, come get some of this. Jerks. Knocking people out. All right, we need to talk some football. The tampering period is now open in the NFL. What does that mean? We're going to talk with Michael David Smith of ProFootballTalk.com about that and the Bears next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.